The Lord be with you in your home this day. We are celebrating the fifth Sunday in the season of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. We give thanks, Lord Jesus, for apostles and martyrs who have gone before us. We confess that we have not always made a clear witness to the salvation you won for us in your death and resurrection. Forgive us and give us opportunities to witness to you the way, the truth, and the life. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you graciously call us your holy nation, your royal priesthood. We confess that in our life and conduct, we have too often reflected the world around us rather than our membership in the body of Christ. Forgive us and strengthen us to walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. We give thanks, O Holy Spirit, that you have worked faith in our hearts so that we may approach the throne of grace with every petition confidently. We confess that too often we seek to bend your will to ours, failing to trust you not only for the place you have prepared for us in eternity, but also for that which is best for us today. Forgive us and open our hearts to receive your answers, which are always better than our prayers. God has indeed called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are his own people, thanks to the grace and mercy that is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. As a servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The psalm for today is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed your eternal love for all people. Grant that we may confidently ask whatever we need in his name and also proclaim him as the way, the truth, and the life through the same Jesus Christ who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading is found in the sixth and seventh chapters of the book of Acts. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and also of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The third reading today is found in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So in our journey through the Easter season, we ourselves have celebrated the passion of our Lord and the resurrection of our Lord, and find ourselves in this time after the resurrection reading the gospel account of Jesus and a conversation with the disciples before the resurrection. And so we're putting this together as this fifth Sunday of Easter. We begin to turn a corner of sorts towards the ascension of Jesus, and also beyond that to the day of Pentecost. So I would like to begin with words from a song that I have enjoyed over the years. This from the musical Godspell, and the title of the song is "By My Side." Their beginning lyrics are as follows. "Where are you going? Where are you going? Can you take me with you? For my hand is cold and needs warmth. Where are you going?" I think these words capture, and perhaps the tune as well, if, you know, maybe listen to that on your own, but that capture the sentiment of the disciples in their joy in experiencing and knowing Jesus' presence in their midst, and the wonder, the excitement of the reality of God being tangible and visibly present through a person, and their privilege and honor of meeting and knowing Jesus and experiencing all of this, you know, firsthand with their eyes, their bodies, their hearts, and their minds. And the inability to see beyond this tangible, you know, real, dynamic presence of Jesus in their midst, as Jesus himself has begun this conversation towards his departure, his exodus, or his leaving the disciples. But let's hear this properly, and let's hear this anew today. He begins by saying, Do not let your hearts be troubled. So in the midst of all that is uncertain and unclear for them, in a way unknowable until the moment arrives, Jesus reassures with the words, do not let your hearts be troubled. And this is a beautiful and wonderful word for us today. For in many respects, we have the words of our God, our Savior, before us. They are real in a sense, and these words come alongside for us right now, the realities of the pandemic and all of its uncertainty. It seems that day to day, the understanding, you know, what works, what doesn't work, the impact, whether it's geography or various conditions of people and humanity, locations, all of this change from day to day and is in constant flux in a way that we don't know from one day to the next, in a sense, you know, how all of this is going to play out. And so the uncertainty is there. But in truth, this uncertainty is really a part of our human existence and a part of, you know, the universal reality all around us. If we look to the great expanse of the universe, recognizing the small little speck that we are within our own galaxy and all the number of galaxies out there, begin to see the sense of the broad expanse and the scope of the universe in this way, it's really impossible for our minds to comprehend its size and significance and all that is happening and going on there. So in large, this sense of uncertainty is real for us, but then also in small, in looking to our own lives, there's so much that we may be in prayer in or for or about that we may wonder about our place in the history or the scope, the story of God's plan of salvation through humanity. How will the reality of God's Spirit and God's will play out in our lives? Will it be of a kind to that of Stephen, for example, and his witness to Christ and the objection or rejection of the community around him and their violence against him? Will that be our story, or will our lives play out more calmly and quietly in a different way? So in large or small, we have this opportunity to trust Jesus's words, do not let your hearts be troubled. And so with that, he draws our attention perhaps away from the uncertainty of life to the certainty of his promises, the foundation of his promises. If or as I go to prepare a place for you. A home, that is, that's how I think we're invited to hear these words. I go to prepare a home for you. A home includes the sense not only of belonging, but a place of fellowship, a place of warmth, a place of nurture, a place of service, and a whole scope beyond that, you know, celebrating Mother's Day this weekend, you know, a place where mom has her place, you know, her relationship to the role that she plays within each family, that of nurturing, of sharing Christ for so many, that of earning a living today, maintaining the household in all of the small and the large things that go on there, much that is goes on unacknowledged or unappreciated from day to day and week to week, but particularly on occasion like this, we simply take time to give thanks for. But essentially, the home that Jesus assures us of is one that also includes his presence. When he returns, he comes to take us to be with him where he is. So here, an eschatological or an end times kind of projection of time and a reality, but also the in-between as we look to Pentecost and so on, the promise of his presence with us in the meantime. The last aspect of this is not only that Jesus goes to prepare a home, a place, and to be provide his presence, but in the meantime, he has given us his purpose. And so as he speaks to the disciples, he assures them that with his going away is then the coming of the fullness of the Spirit of God upon us. A part of our understanding at this moment comes to light in the sense of Jesus, his coming and his reflection or his living out the nature and character of the Father through his life. So he is inviting us, you know, through the miracles to recognize his divine nature and thus the nature of the Father being displayed through Jesus. Part of what is happening here in the historic moment, John 14, Jesus and his conversation with the disciples is looking to Jerusalem, looking to his crucifixion, looking to his death and subsequent resurrection. And in essence, to the disciples of whom Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way?" Jesus is pointing Thomas to the cross and the necessity that to know Jesus and to know the Father, you must know the cross. And this is the essence of Jesus saying, "I am the way." This is salvation, a language that is being deployed here for our understanding. So Jesus is saying, you cannot know the Father without knowing the Son, you know, through his crucifixion, his death and resurrection. We say, what do I specifically know of Jesus or of the Father through the crucifixion of Jesus? And right off we recognize there is a, I know immensely the love of God through that moment. This is the John 3:16 kind of reference. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Through the substitutionary nature of Jesus' sacrifice and his excruciating suffering for us, we recall not only is this a function of physical pain or a function of even emotional pain in the way that the disciples are there, his mother watching all of this without understanding the mocking, the scorn, and so on that he endures, all of this physical, relational stuff, but also the reality that in his crucifixion, he experiences the forsakenness of God, that the Father must turn his back completely on the Son in this sense of the horror of the reality of all of our sin coming to bear upon the life, the body, the soul of Jesus. And this is what extinguishes, it squeezes the life out of him in that moment on the cross. So it is imperative for us to know Christ and the Father then through the love of God expressed in Jesus at Calvary, but also the horror or the terror of the holiness of God. And through this then, recognize the gravity of our sin, that without the presence of God, without the presence of Jesus, we have simply the horror of hell or the terror of alienation from God and our complete insufficiency and emptiness and this persistent longing of the soul for redemption and for restoration and for the presence and the assurance of God's love that what must be required for justice would then have come to bear upon our lives and extinguish us rather than our Savior. So out of this then comes a deep and abiding gratitude to God and to Jesus for this moment. Gratitude for the love and gratitude for being spared the horror or the terror of the holiness and the justice of God upon our lives. And this then is the fullest revelation of the Father through Jesus on Calvary. So Jesus then is this way. He is this truth, and that is not to say that other cultures or religions do not have aspects of truth in their lives that we find a sense of affinity or familiarity with, but as much as that these truths may resonate with us in a sense of what we know intuitively to be right or wrong, the fact is that each of our lives has this voice of condemnation within that needs to be, resolved through the substitution of Jesus in our place and on our behalf. And we all need this message of grace, this message of gospel truth to us. So Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life to come. In this sense, then, focusing on the life, I would connect there the final P, place, presence, and finally, purpose. And that is that as Jesus goes away, his Spirit, this is the very Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, fills our lives through his word and through the baptism, and through faith and trust in him. And the power of the Spirit of God equips and prepares us as it did Stephen and the all those who have followed the way before us in time. The Spirit enables and empowers this witness. It teaches us, it fills us with the wisdom and also the timeliness, the nature and the character of God in speaking God's word in our days and our times. The Spirit of God enables our obedience, the proper obedience, not necessarily the obedience of fear, but the obedience of love, recognizing that love fulfills all the commandments. And so our obedience as an expression of love for God first is necessary to be a proper obedience, and then the second aspect of our obedience is love for one another, the assurance that as we trust God and obey and trust his word and express our lives through faithful living, that we are loving God and loving one another in this respect. And finally, simply the courage to be a testimony, a witness to what God has done for us and for all of humanity through Christ our Savior, providing for us a home, his presence, and a purpose as we journey along the way. So if we return to the song, where are you going? Where are you going? Can you take me with you? And Jesus' beautiful answer is yes, lovingly, yes, I can take you with me. In fact, you know the way to where I am going. It is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless us as we wrestle with this truth and this reality and dynamic in our lives, and also as we wrestle with our time and the various messages of our culture, bringing them to Christ and to submission to the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father, everlasting God, your Son has revealed you to us as a merciful Lord. Give to us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe in him whom you have sent, and do the greater works he has told us we will do in his name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer the spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to you. Bless your church and bring all congregations back together in worship before you. Bless those who proclaim Christ to us. Bless all church workers and those preparing for full-time church vocations, that your church may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants in your word. And we pray your blessing upon all the laity of our congregations, that they too be inspired to walk with you and to trust and to believe in the promises that you have given to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, your power brought all things into being, and still you preserve what you have made. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants, so that they may honor you and your purpose, establishing order and justice, encouraging virtue, and protecting all life. Give wisdom and moderation to them in their leadership for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O merciful Father, you have compassion upon the sick and those in need, and have promised not to ignore them in their afflictions. Turn back the pandemic across the globe. Give us relief, we pray. Bless the sick with healing, those who suffer with strength and patience, and the dying with your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you have established the home and bless those who show us your love. Bless all mothers and the children in their care. Bless all families and make their homes places of blessings and love, where your word is spoken, forgiveness reigns, and love is displayed. Give us examples to inspire youth to all that is good and pure, and to seek after these things. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Father, of an eternal mercy, you have raised up witnesses in every age and blessed us with those who endured suffering and even death in faithfulness to Christ. We give you thanks for these faithful saints and martyrs, and we pray you to make us strong when we face the day of testing, that at length we may be brought with them into the joy of your presence and the glory of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the occasion that we have this Sunday to bless the quilts that our congregation, largely the women of our congregation, have prepared. We thank you for the hearts and the minds and the sense of community, love, sacrifice, and devotion that has attended this loving work. And so we ask, Lord, that as their love and their lives have been poured into these quilts, these objects now, that we would that you would bless them as symbols, as messages of your grace and your mercy to hearts and minds and lives in times of need. Let them warm not only laps, Lord, or shoulders, but ultimately hearts and minds with the assurance that someone who may not know them, may not ever meet them, yet has expressed concern for their need and been moved with compassion with this supply of their need through the warmth of this quilt. Attend these gifts, dear Lord, with your presence, your spirit, and your power. We pray that through these gifts, lives and hearts may be transformed and hope instilled. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, God, for your goodness in hearing the prayers of your people and granting us confidence to approach your throne of mercy. Hear us now in the name of and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom and with whom and in whom in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. Loving God, receive us into your kingdom and teach us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.